Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The nation paused yesterday to honor the 41st President of the United States. George Herbert Walker Bush visited South Dakota more than once, and at least for a few hours, he did a little hunting. SDPB's Kevin Wooster joins us now. His blog is called On the Other Hand. You can find it on our website, sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Always good to be back, Lori.
So not only did you exchange letters with then-President Bush, but you actually know where that letter is today, which I find extremely impressive.
Well, it was actually a couple of years after he was defeated, so it was 95. Mm-hmm. And I had it in there with a note from Kevin Costner that I've since lost. And it was a pretty good note because it involved some column writing I'd done during the filming of Dances with Wolves out here because we didn't get some access to the set and stuff that I thought we should have, so I was critical of him. And then after the movie came out, I praised it, and he sent me a fairly lengthy note saying that he appreciated the praise and he was going to go after me and really try and attack me, but decided not to, and now he was glad he didn't. And I'd lost that one. But I kept track of it, and I really wish I still had it because it was pretty cool what he said, but I kept track of the George Bush letters. I've been a H.W. Bush friend, a fan for a long time, and even though I voted for Dukakis in the 88 election at the last minute because I didn't like the Willie Horton advertisement, that aside, I just think he's been a really exemplary public service and a servant, and of course a war hero, and all that. So it was a thrill for me, and when I heard that when he came to Sioux Falls to speak at Augustana, when I heard that he'd been hunting, right, and out by Chamberlain in turf that I knew pretty well, I called. I was too late to catch up with him for the hunt, but after the fact, I did some correspondence with him, and he sent me a fairly lengthy letter about his hunting experience and some other things.
All right, so tell me a little bit about, we're talking about a real letter, too, in case people have glossed over that. I mean, this is a piece of paper that is typed out, but that he hand signs. So, I don't know, does it go through the White House Office of Public Correspondence? How long did it take to get to you?
Well, it was around, it was weeks for me to get this. And it was all typed. But clearly he was dictating it to somebody. I assume he wasn't typing it himself, but you never know that. And then it was hand-addressed, and the address seems to be in the hand of the signature on the letter, which also had George Bush and then Merry Christmas, because it was dated the 23rd of December, 95. So. And then it was, it was fairly detailed in the questions, and it was focused on hunting because I was interested in this hunting trip, and there'd been other coverage, obviously, on his speech in Sioux Falls, but nothing on the hunting trip, and so I called people out there and at the lodge where he hunted and where we have our annual family reunion, Wooster family reunion, so we know that specific lodge pretty well, and had a conversation about things, including the controversy that he got into earlier that year with the National Rifle Association.
All right, so let's talk hunting first and give us an idea of what his hunting experience was like here in South Dakota.
Well, I go into this with, as I said, a bias towards the man that's different than the feelings I have about another well-known person, Dick Cheney, who hunts on a preserve, or did hunt regularly on a preserve up by Gettysburg, north of Pierre. And Cheney is well known as being a pretty good shot and a guy who likes to shoot a lot of things at these preserves, and does. And what I loved about the Bush letter was, so he was proud of himself because he shot three pheasants. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they were in a hunting situation, I can't remember, on a preserve where he could have shot more, or if they were in an off-preserve thing through this hunting operation where you have to follow the state three-bird limit, but it didn't matter. He was thrilled with three birds and said he had missed a number of good shots and was good-humored about that, and also talked about loving the thrill of hearing the flushing pheasants and just really enjoyed the walking that goes with the hunt. And that's a big part of pheasant hunting. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that he liked the things that I liked about it, the experience.
And he loves watching the dogs work, he says. which we just talked about not too long ago.
I was glad to see that he started out right away. You know, he said, I'm an over. He talks about the favorite part of the quail hunting that he's done a lot of or had done a lot of was watching the dogs work. And that is, you know, that's a dog whistle in a positive way to hunters of a certain kind who say, when you say that, we all look at each other with a knowing look that says, yeah. Right. And the ones that aren't looking at us that look puzzled, we say, someday maybe you'll figure this out. That's such a huge part of hunting that for me, if I didn't have a dog and couldn't do that part of it, I probably wouldn't hunt anymore. Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about his legacy and the sort of controversy with the NRA. But first, I want to point out that yesterday on the program during the junkie segment, I said that there hadn't been any coverage that I'd seen about the invasion of Panama. During the Bush administration. Yeah. And a careful listener emailed me to correct me and said they had heard, three different things on NPR covering that. So I want to correct myself and thank that listener for listening to NPR even more than I do, because I hadn't heard those things. And another sort of controversial post-presidency moment, is this happened after his presidency? Or when is his sort of, when does he decide that the NRA is not something he wants to be a part of anymore?
The NRA fuss came after, and it came earlier that year, and it was in response to some fundraising that the NRA was doing, and some of it was tied to their unhappiness with the Waco, Texas incident, a couple of years prior to that, and then the Oklahoma City bombing and the responses from the federal agents and things like that. And in the fundraising, they said some pretty, incendiary things about federal agents, including the often quoted jackbooted thugs and references to fascists and helmets and I think armed terrorists at one point. Bush took great offense at that for many reasons, just generally, but also because he had known agents who had lost their lives, I think at Waco and at Oklahoma City, and that meant something to him, and he took it personally. And as you know, and anyone who watched the coverage knows, he was a guy who went far beyond just the agents that cover him, but got to know their families and their children and their grandchildren. And whether you liked his politics all the time or not, most people would say that he was a very genuinely nice man. And so he took this attack personally and dropped his life membership at the NRA, which was a meaningful thing for a guy with his profile and his hunting heritage to do.
Are you, as you remember, as we remember the president as a nation, were there any other, we just have like 30 seconds left, but did we do it right? Was it, as you watched the coverage, did you think, yep, that captures the spirit, not only who he was, but who we are?
I was all for that. I think we need to celebrate people that have conducted themselves with this general civility that he did, and with the outreach to people of all stations in life, which matters so much, a man of wealth and of status that didn't care who you were. And we all got to stop and honor him in a way that I think we need to honor folks like him. So, yes, I thought it was perfect.